Grace and peace to you from God our Father and of the Son, Jesus Christ. Every evening at 6 p.m., doors and windows were opened. People stepped outside onto their balconies and they began to sing. Bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. The song became well known when it was adopted by the partisans, the Italian resistance of World War II, as their anthem against the Nazi occupation. In March 2020, that very song echoed through the Italian streets and villages and cities and wherever people followed the call to sing. It brought the people together in their fight against the invisible enemy, the new coronavirus. Those constrained to the four walls of their flats, they took comfort in being united in that ritual. And in the melody and the words that had set the minds and the hearts of earlier generations free. From Italy, the idea spread first from country to country in Europe, then around the world. Singing and making music together from balconies and from the rooftops, on the streets and in the courtyards. It united families, neighborhoods and strangers. It strengthened those playing and singing as well as those listening. It encouraged them not to give up against the unknown illness, in the sight of unspeakable suffering and the uncountable deaths. Lay and professional musicians wrote songs. On May 4th, 2020, the Chicago Tribune published a list of 40 songs about the coronavirus pandemic. 40 songs that had been released over the course of only 6 weeks. They took up the themes of life in quarantine, of social distancing, of feeling sad, confused, and distraught. To give you an idea, here are a few examples as listed by the Chicago Tribune. One Republic wrote Better Days, a rap song about self-quarantining. Randy Newman focused on social distancing in Stay Away. In 6 feet apart, the country singer Luke Combs tackled the simple things we are currently missing in life and quarantine. The country singer Adam Hambrick published Between Me and the End of the World to describe his wife's work. She worked as a physician's assistant and had to test people for COVID-19. Bon Jovi wrote, Do What You Can, after volunteering at his own community restaurant, encouraging everyone to lend a hand wherever they can. And Bono of U2 wrote, Let Your Love Be Known, after being inspired by the Italians singing during their quarantine. Other artists decided to make use of their previous works. Songs were re-recorded or remixed to reflect the mood of a world overtaken by a virus. Gloria Estefan, you might remember her from your disco days, put new words to her famous song, which is now entitled Put Your Mask On. And she lists precautions to be taken to prevent the spread of COVID-19. The Chicago Tribune webpage provided a playlist of the tracks with links so that you could immediately listen to the messages of encouragement and comfort yourself. You could lighten up your mood, or you could even start your own little disco night at home, singing and dancing by yourself and yet together with others in isolation. And if you are not into country, disco, pop, rock, or rap, you might remember Igor Levit, streaming piano concerts from home, choirs and orchestras singing together via Zoom forwarded us messages of unity and of hope from smartphone to smartphone. Musicians of different genres and generations used their creativity and their fame to inform about the new virus, to encourage perseverance, to comfort the lonely and the bereaved, to promote standing together during these challenging times. Radio stations and music providers like Spotify and Apple Music compiled Corona sound lists with popular songs that had proven to be comforting in other times of crisis. It is a renowned practice to take up famous songs and adjusting the words to the current situation. If you are familiar with a tune, you remember the words more easily. Adopting melodies and songs, writing new hymns to well-known tunes, has actually been used by Christian musicians and theologians from the very beginning of Christianity. Therefore, I take you back today to the first century. During their time of crisis, the first generation of Christians in Colossae and the surrounding areas received a letter in which a well-known hymn was quoted. Epaphras, one of Paul's co-workers, was originally from the area. He was the first one to bring the good news, the message of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, into their homes. Men and women, masters and slaves, shared their new belief and their lives in a new way. Their community was shaped by faith, love, and hope. They were united in the conviction that Jesus Christ was their Lord and Savior. They shared the desire to understand more what His will is so that they could live their daily life accordingly. Reading the first lines of the letter, you get the idea that there are lots of reasons to be grateful for in this small congregation gathering there in the different house churches. However, it isn't always easy to spell out all the consequences of the Christian faith for different situations of your daily life, especially if you are new to the faith. It isn't always easy to live in the fellowship of His love and to be guided by the hope of the resurrection if you have been brought up with a different worldview. Discussions on the nature of Christ led to misunderstanding. Differing opinions of people with influence caused friction. Some said, "You need secret wisdom to understand God." Seeds of doubt were sown among young Christians. The origin of the disputes and the arguments of the opposing parties cannot be exactly identified from what has come down to us. However, what we do know is this: the congregation was experiencing a crisis like never before. There was this letter, therefore, that was sent to them so that they could better understand what their hope is built on, and what would encourage them to persevere in their Christian faith and to continually live by it day in, day out, in the face of all the confrontations. Paul and his friends, the authors of the letter, were familiar with the situation in Colossae. They knew the first traditions that had been established and their present challenges. They knew the writings that have been circulated amongst the young Christians on which their faith had been built. On the grounds of these writings, they meant to paint the picture of Him as the one who has the ultimate power over all creation, over life and death, so that doubts were cast away by pointing everyone to Jesus, so that the young Christians would continue to put their trust in the good news as it was proclaimed to them at the very beginning. What would be better to encourage them than to remind them of a well-known hymn on the supremacy of Christ? And to add a few lines of explanation, the hymn, as it has come down to us in the letter to the Colossians, is divided into two parts, maybe you could say two stanzas. Firstly, Christ's supremacy in creation, that's verses 15 to 17, and secondly, Christ's supremacy in redemption, that's verses 18 to 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That is the first line of that hymn. Though the song is all about Jesus' supremacy, vindicated through his death and resurrection, the words take us back past the events of the very first Easter, back to the very beginning of creation. What was a familiar argument to those well-versed in the books of wisdom about the Word and creation is now applied to Jesus Christ. It doesn't take the hymn with a lot of words to open up a whole theology of God's creation. In other words, if you are seeking God, if you want to learn more about Him and His plan for mankind, turn to Jesus Christ, as He represents the invisible God like no other. From the very beginning of time, it was His unique relationship to the Creator as His Son that gave Him the power over all powers in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you don't have to fear any power. Not even the power of your own guilt and shame. As God has provided redemption and reconciliation in Him once and for all, when His blood was shed on the cross. Therefore, the hymn referred to in this letter is, in a way, one of the earliest Easter hymns, a song of comfort and encouragement for Christians in crisis. It is very unfortunate that we cannot join the Christians of Colossae in singing their very hymn. But we are lucky. Thankfully, though, many other hymns praising God as the Creator and relating the Easter events have come down to us from different centuries and from different continents. They've been brought to us today by Dietmar Zaretzke and the Petri Choir so that we get an idea in how many ways the message of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, of encouragement and hope, has been expressed by Christians around the world. What an important reminder on the day that Germany commemorates the lives lost to COVID-19. Maybe there's a tune or two that will keep ringing in your ear, that you find yourself humming in the course of the week when you are in need of comfort or of help to persevere in your day-to-day life. So please feel free to take the hymn sheet, the order of worship, home with you. Maybe one of today's hymns is your Easter song 2021 to help you stick the COVID-19 crisis out just a little longer and to celebrate victory of life over death, humming or singing. In closing, I want to draw your attention to another event that happened yesterday and today, 500 years ago to the day. On April 17th and April 18th, 1521, a monk of the Augustinian order appeared as ordered before the Diet of Worms, the General Assembly of the Estates of the Holy Roman Empire, and in the presence of the presiding Emperor Charles V, Martin Luther was presented with copies of his writings. He was asked if the books were his and whether he stood by their contents. As professor of theology from Wittenberg, Luther confirmed that he was their author. But he also requested time to think about the answer to the second question. Back at his lodgings, he prayed. He consulted friends and gave his response the next day on April 18th. In the presence of all the authorities of his day and age, he said, "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, I am bound by the scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. May God help me. Amen." Thereby, Martin Luther refused to recant his writings. Finally, he was condemned as a heretic and declared an outlaw. His literature was banned, and an arrest warrant was sent out. Just 2 years later, Martin Luther wrote the first words of a hymn to a well-known tune, commemorating the death of two monks who had been killed for their new understanding of the gospel. It was the first of many hymns to come by Martin Luther, written so that not only the authorities of the world and of the church, the emperors, the electors and the dukes, the archbishops and the princes, but the common man, woman and child would come to know the convictions he was willing to die for. By composing hymns, Martin Luther wanted the ordinary people to understand the gospel and to spread it in the same way he had. As a counselor to many, he wanted them thereby to overcome the fears and anxieties ruling their everyday lives. By focusing on the risen, conquering Son. As much as I appreciate the efforts of the singers and songwriters of today, the stars and the artists yet to become famous, in most of their works, they focus on human strength. More than a year into the pandemic, in the midst of a third wave, I'm afraid that calling on reason, on our understanding, and on asking for more patience, trusting on our own strength, is asking a lot. Actually, too much for most of us. In their time of severe crisis, the Christians of Colossae were encouraged to turn to Jesus and to seek strength by trusting in him. So, if you have any idea of how to express your Christian faith and your confidence, your hope in the resurrection in a way that would attract other people's attention, so if you come up with words that would fit a popular tune of our time, a song on the radio, on Spotify or Apple Tunes, give it a try. Write your own song of encouragement, share your faith. Strengthen those feeling tired and helpless by your own hymn of hope. And if you come up with words that comfort and help your family and friends to put their trust in God in these difficult times, I believe Dr. Martin Luther would smile encouragingly at you, and you would stand on the shoulders of him who, like Paul and many others, so effectively used the very same method to spread the good news in times of crisis, to young and old, and from generation to generation, and to worship the risen conquering Son. Amen.